Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart, and today I'm joined by Jason Bay. He's the founder and CEO over at Blissful Prospecting, and we are both hanging out in our homes, socially isolating. I'm in my bedroom with some cool Ken Foster art in the background, as per always. And Jason, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
I'm excited for this, man. Yeah, this has been, I've listened to the podcast, as I told you, for a long time and been a big fan of the book. So it's cool getting to chat. And we also, we found out that we both play guitar. So yeah. We could talk for a whole hour about that some other time.
We did just burn 15 minutes talking about, guitar and kit. And it was triggered by the fact that I'm pretty sure we got the same mic set up here. Yep. Good old Shure SM58s.
Yep.
Yeah. We had them kicking around because we had done some live events and the Shure was all I knew in terms of like mic. And so I figured, hey, if we've got them, we may as well use them. And now it turns out it's a pretty, pretty decent podcast mic.
Yep. It's the tried and true, man. I mean, for $100, you can't really get much better.
No, I do have like podcast mic envy of the guys that have those, like, I think they're Shure. They're like, they look like this. They're kind of like rectangular cones.
Yeah.
More cones than a rectangle.
They're like $600 or something like that.
Yeah. Crazy town. I think that's how you know you've really made it. Like, but you gotta have like a million subscribers or something. Like Joe Rogan has those mics.
Yeah, I would just feel like an amateur if I had one of those things, like a poser. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude, you've got your own podcast, and if you've already got the SM58, like that's a big step up. I started when we did our podcast, I had actually the very first episode I recorded. The time got moved and I ended up being at a conference. So I was at a conference and I went to the lobby of a hotel and recorded the first episode. And I was like, Now it's better than perfect. And so it was on like just some crappy earbuds. And then we upgraded to like my headset, like a wireless Plantronics headset. That was terrible quality. Please don't go back and listen to
that's like call center style. That's call center style headset right there.
100%. 100%. The SM58 sounds great on your side. And thanks for joining us. And so to the episode, what we are talking about today is basically how you write messaging. You coach people on messaging. You've got a business that sort of built around doing that. And basically, we're going to talk about sort of three things, which is what does outbound look like in 2020? We're going to take a little detour on that because it is March 30th today. The day that we're recording it is probably a month later that we are, or probably a couple of weeks later at least that we are publishing this. But we are deep into the social isolation and COVID and all that. So if we can get this one moved up, we definitely will. But we're going to take a little detour and talk about what messaging and outbound looks like in 2020 and in the, since COVID has come upon us. We're also going to look at the channels, and then we're going to dive into Jason's reply method. Before we kind of jump in, I'd love to just set the context for us here. Where did the reply method come from on your side?
So when we started Blissful Prospecting, we were sort of doing what you guys do a lot of, right? Outsourced sales development. People could hire us and we would primarily send cold emails. So this was like 3 or 4 years ago where you could kind of get away with a single channel approach and set a lot of appointments. And we noticed we just went through this process every single time with a client. And it took a lot of time to get the information that we needed from them to actually write the email copy. And what we started looking at was patterns in how we would frame up the emails and like the components that they needed. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that. And then the other thing I got super lucky with was I was like, we need to name this because if we want to shift more into consulting and training, people, tend to like it when you have like a signature style thing that you teach, right? And I looked up, I was like, does anyone using anything for the acronym reply? Because that would be kind of cool. And no one was using it. And I just kind of took a combination of that. I didn't really have to force it too much either, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I got really lucky, I guess, with the acronym. But the main part of it was just sending thousands of emails and writing hundreds of email sequences for people. And also doing it for ourselves, where I just saw a lot of themes in what should have been included, what wasn't, and what you need and what you don't need, how long the email should be, and everything in between.
Beautiful. And I totally agree. I remember the good old days where just email, you could with just email, you could get some, you know, pretty strong results, whether you're an SDR or you had had a team of people that were prospecting on behalf of others. Yeah. Fast forward to 2020, what does outbound look like to you?
Man, so when we first initially talked like a month and a half ago or whenever it was.
Feels like a year ago.
I know. So much has happened. And I don't think that outbound has necessarily changed that much. I think we really need to focus on doing the right things and doing them extremely well to have any amount of success. So when I've looked at it, we call it outbound 3.0. And it was the shift from this sort of single channel, being able to send email, being able to automate a lot and mass blast and not really have to do a lot of customization or really be that targeted with who you're reaching out to, and you could still get a conversation started. And the shift that I have seen is in a couple different things. And with, you know, COVID-19, I think you just need to really amplify these things. But the three strategies that we see working really well from an outbound standpoint are, one, taking more of a quality first approach and finding the balance between, hey, how much do I need to personalize versus how much can be templated in my message, right? I think we're having to revisit that and take a much more of a quality approach right now. Mm-hmm. The second thing is engaging with purpose. So having a reason to reach out to people, rethinking our cadence structure, and again, how much automation is in there, reworking our messaging. So whatever you were using a month ago is probably not relevant or working right now. Mm-hmm. And then I have this concept I refer to as teach, don't take. So I think insights, prospects right now, if we really exercise some empathy and think about what they need and what they're feeling, one, they're scared. So there's a lot of, I would say, fear around making decisions right now, right? There's a lot of risk aversion going on. And the second thing that people are really hungry for is insights. What are my competitors doing? What are other companies like me doing? And I need to get those insights, and those insights are more important than ever. And those insights have changed. 4 weeks ago, I would have been sharing a lot different things with director and VPs of sales that I talked to. And now it's about what I'm hearing. People are wondering how to keep their team motivated. They're wondering how to keep conversations going with prospects. They're wondering how to save their pipeline. A lot of them are not talking about growing right now. It's, mm-hmm. Hey, we're not going to hit our quarterly targets, but how can we save as much of our pipeline as possible so we can avoid layoffs? And now, if you're prospecting to that persona, for example, you need insights that are going to deliver on those areas and really gather best practices from your customers and share those things. That's, in my opinion right now, and especially with what I'm seeing, that's becoming the bare minimum requirement to get a meeting right now. And if you're not doing that, which you should have had insights anyways that you were sharing, if you're not doing that, people just are not going to want to talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm. It's that relevance and that helpfulness. And I think there's like a stage zero to this, which is if you're prospecting into a market where, you know, they've just laid off their entire workforce, might be a little different story. And I think just making sure that you're absolutely calibrating into the industry, right? If you're selling into the airline industry, they're probably having a pretty tough time right now. Oil and gas, probably the same thing. And so I'd say, like, outside of the big ones that have taken the biggest hits, are you slowing down at all, or are you ducking and weaving and changing?
I'd be lying to you if I said that things haven't slowed down in the last month. That would be a lie. So they have slowed down in terms of momentum and where we're shifting. Yeah, the ducking and weaving. So you brought up a really good point there, and one thing I'm highly recommending is shifting your customer segments. So avoiding those highly impacted industries like you're talking about, and really looking at beyond the obvious. So like an example would be, hey, if you sell solutions to help companies work remotely, obviously you're in a good position, right? But I would look a layer deeper than that and look at Zoom, for example. Zoom is in a position like where they're killing it, but look at the companies that support the companies that are killing it. So for example, one of the prospects I'm talking to right now, they help with online security. And making sure that, you know, as these companies grow and more people are working at home from unsecure Wi-Fi, that these websites aren't getting hacked. So that's a really good example of like repositioning and looking at, well, hey, who's really killing it right now and who's helping those people if I can't work directly with the people that are killing it? Because Zoom doesn't need help with prospecting right now. Like, people are coming to them. So these remote companies, that's too obvious, but Yeah, you brought up a good point, shifting your customer segments and kind of weaving right now and being really smart about who are we in a position to really help. And most SaaS companies, I would say most of them, are in a position where they can weave and it'll be tough and look for different ways to help. And that's going to make you revisit your value props, your messaging, maybe the personas that you normally go after. Like, you got to kind of shuffle the deck again and almost start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think I may have brought this up on a previous podcast or webinar, but I got a friend of a friend whose company went from 15 million in annual recurring revenue to zero.
Oh my goodness.
In one day.
Oh.
And like recruiting space, right?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, all those, people trying to hire, you roll back your hiring plans and all of a sudden, and so I empathize and I feel for the people that's happened to. In terms of like, and so I feel as somebody who's sort of involved in the prospecting process of like of a company, I'm grateful for the fact that the need for growth, the need for growing for people growing their companies hasn't disappeared entirely. In fact, once we get through all this uncertainty, I imagine, people are going to be behind on their targets and they're going to hopefully be, it's going to be one of those things that they're going to invest, a little bit more on to try and catch up. So yes, it's been tough. I'm sure there's, we haven't seen all of it yet. But I'm grateful that, if you're in sales, it's one of those upsides that you can look at is like, if your company's been impacted, yes, it's really unfortunate that, your company, your customers, are having to deal with this uncertainty. From a sales perspective, it's one of those like unchanging market needs that companies are always going to need salespeople. And so I feel really fortunate to be in a position where, myself coming from a sales background, feel like, still everybody still needs the growth and still needs the element of people helping customers, come on board.
Yeah. And really it's about leadership, right? And if you're good at what you do from a sales standpoint, it's really, you're helping lead your prospects and your customers to a solution or to help them fix a problem, right? So yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the psychology is really interesting right now because I caught myself like catastrophizing, right? Where I was like, holy shit, are people going to even need sales training anymore? Like, is anyone thinking about outbound? Like all this other stuff. And I just went down that road, for like an hour, dude, and just was freaking out. And I was like, you know what? There are other people in this space that do what I do, and I need to talk to them and see what they're doing right now. And maybe more of the seasoned people that have been through a couple of recessions, right? Mm-hmm. And have weathered the storm. And I think it's good advice for any salesperson or sales leader too, is, look to your peers and just get off the news like we were talking about before we started recording and talk to some peers and people that are very solution oriented right now and have gone through something like this. And if nothing else, it'll make you feel a little bit better, so you can focus on like what you can actually control, because there's a lot outside of our control right now.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. Like it's definitely one of those times that's making me kind of check my information diet of like where, when I pull information into my life and what sources I'm consuming. Cause it's way too easy. You're lucky you only spent an hour in the, oh my God, the world is ending mode. I'm sure some people, myself included, have spent, the last couple of weeks trying to figure out, okay, what's our path through this?
Yeah.
And it's never, it's never easy. It's never fun. But business will go on and it's going to be a dip. And we'll get through it. We'll all get through it together. And like, it's not like AI has taken over and suddenly we don't need salespeople, right? Like it's going to be temporarily more difficult. But in the long run, I'm not trying to say it's not going to like, I'm not trying to downplay the effects of COVID. I'm just trying to focus on the positives. Fact that, we happen to be in job roles where, this is a fundamental need of the market. So feeling thankful there.
Absolutely.
If I zoom us back out to 2020, what we were talking about in terms of prospecting, you had kind of a process for like identify, engage, and convert. Do you want to talk to me a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah. So we basically need to, with any outbound process, it's based on three sort of skill sets: your ability to identify good fit accounts and contacts, which we've already talked about the fact that you really need to shift your customer segments, right? So you might need to relook at your accounts and your personas. And then number two, it's your ability to engage and start a conversation with them. There's a bunch of things associated with that. That's your cadences, your messaging. That's where the reply method fits in. And then this third component is the convert component. And that's your ability to start a conversation with someone and actually turn them into an opportunity and get them, you know, going in your sales cycle. So those are the three areas that really hasn't changed really very much at all since people have been doing outbound for as long as they've been doing it. We just have the ability to really focus a little bit more with tools, and there's more best practices that are known and that sort of stuff. But I would say the big thing right now that is driving that trifecta is this teach, don't take, you know, sort of modeling. I think you can start down at the rep level too. What does being helpful mean right now? Because I don't know, are you seeing that, Colin, where a lot of people are like, hey, have empathy for your prospects. I see that a lot right now is the advice, and be helpful. I don't think people really know what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What does being helpful look like? What does it sound like? What is empathy? Because if you're just sending emails right now that say, hey, Colin, hope all is well, hope your business is not too impacted. Anyways, I'm with Blissful Prospecting and we help people fill their sales pipeline and all this other garbage. It's like, that's not what empathy is.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. I've seen a few where the people, like, they're opening up with like, first line is about COVID.
Yeah.
And then nothing else has changed. And I do think, you know, like you said, it's about being relevant. It's about being empathetic, but you really like the empathy has to be relevant to the current situation and not just, hey, I understand we're all trying to do this. Please, if you're sending those emails, don't hesitate to send those emails. Like, it's better than doing nothing. And I don't mean to crap on anybody that's just trying to do their job. I understand as SDRs and as salespeople, we all got to keep pushing forward. We've got quotas that we're not going to hit, all of us, you know, in the next couple of months. And so no judgment if that's what you're doing. Just hoping to, with this conversation, open up and maybe create some new ideas for people.
By the way, I don't fault any SDR or BDR that's just doing what they're told and they don't have a choice. I especially feel, you know, for you. But a good part of this to start, Colin, might be where we start before the reply method is understanding why your customers buy. Yeah, and I think if we look at that, it actually has shifted, I think, quite a bit in terms of why people buy and like the level of like pain, for example, that someone might be feeling. Mm-hmm. But one area that we typically start, you know, when we're training groups of people is getting them to look at, you know, why do you buy products and why do your prospects, you know, buy products or services? And if you look at this in terms of pain and gain, so if pain was like on the y-axis, for example, on a graph, and then you had on the x-axis gain, typically what you need is that first little quadrant closest to the where they come together. That would be where no decision is made. So the pain is not strong enough and the opportunity for gain, what they could get out of working with you, is not very strong. Mm-hmm. And it's typically on that outer layer where action is actually taken, where people actually do decide to change. Because that's really what you're trying to do when you're prospecting at the end of the day, right? Is you're trying to start a conversation and get them to entertain the idea of making a change of some sort. Because they're probably already taking care of whatever your solution does. Even if they're doing it themselves, they're already taking care of it in most cases to some extent. And where I think things have shifted is where that no decision little quadrant has shifted way to the outside, and the pain and gain needs to be much stronger than it was before for people to even take action. So where I think you can start with the messaging and where we always recommend is like, what are the pain points associated with how you can actually help people?
Love it. Because I feel like I suspect one of the things that every salesperson is probably dealing with right now is that those pain profiles, that pain gain profile, has probably changed and evolved over the last couple of weeks. And we're dealing with unprecedented, like, quick change and uncertainty. Yep. And so if you're sending messaging, and you're probably not, but like that messaging that you wrote 6 weeks ago is probably very out of date, very irrelevant. And I think, so I like that your first step is go back, reassess, start from the ground up and say, okay, well, what is their current pain in light of, you know, what's happening right now? Cause it's not just about COVID, it's, you know, there's a recession, there are people losing their jobs, there are people losing their lives. Like this is changing. And so this is changing all the businesses. And so how is today relevant to like, how's what's happening and what they're going through today, mm-hmm. you know, relevant to why I'm starting this conversation so that you could change the way you do one thing.
Yep. I'm curious what you have to say with this too, because you guys talk with a lot of, you know, prospects and have a lot of customers. In terms of the pain, if we focus on that, I think what's really going on really big from a psychology standpoint right now is loss aversion. And people are really looking at ways they can avoid loss right now over potential gain. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you need to use scare tactics and things like that with your messaging. But for example, with prospecting, the way things have shifted, at least in what we're seeing, is I'm not really talking about like, hey, how can you ramp up new reps faster? Right? I'm not really talking about that right now. That's usually a big value prop, and something like a director of sales is like, dude, we're growing like crazy right now. We need to reduce the ramp time. Yeah. Instead, what we're focusing on is, you know, hey, what I'm hearing from a lot of directors of sales right now is that they're really focused on saving as much of their pipeline as possible. And one of the things they're trying to avoid is having to do any major layoffs. And a big thing that they're concerned with is the motivation of their reps and making sure they have fresh ideas to try when they're prospecting so they can stay motivated. That's what I'm talking about with the challenge. You could even dig even deeper with pain. And there's different levels of pain. There's what I call account level pain. So what's the company feeling right now? There's the persona. What's that VP or director that you're reaching out to feeling? And then you go a layer deeper to situational pain. So I give you another example. So situational has like a specific instance in time where that pain happens. So you could say something like, hey, you know, what I'm hearing a lot right now from SDR teams is that when they go to write their emails, they're a little bit at a loss for like what empathy means and how they should lead with empathy. And then also connect that back to how their solution could help because they're in a position to help right now. Like that's a very specific thing that happens when they go to write the emails. And if I call that out on a cold call or a cold email, that person's going to be like, oh, Jason, like he kind of understands what we're going through right now because he's calling out specific situations. It'd be no different than if I was trying to sell you in-ear headphones for performing live with guitar, right? That's the example I always use. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard one to use with you because you know the purpose of them. But for someone that doesn't play guitar or perform live, what they don't know is that when you're playing in a loud bar, sometimes it's hard to hear yourself, right? And you could be going to take a solo if it's guitar and you can't hear yourself. And if I was to just say, hey, buy these Shure headphones because, you know, it's dual channel and there's noise canceling, you'd be like, I don't really care about that. But if I was like, hey, have you ever run into a situation where you can't hear yourself on stage? And when you go to take the guitar solo, you're like feeling really anxious because you don't know if you're in tune or not. You're gonna be like, yeah, like give me those, right? So we need to take that level of empathy with our prospects. And the way that you can do that right now is by talking to your customers. Your customers are going through the same exact pain points your prospects are. And if you, hopefully you've already talked to them by this time, but if you talk to them and ask them like, hey, what's going on in your business? Just so you can be supportive, they're going to tell you where the pain points are and what they're feeling right now. And that's stuff you can literally almost copy and paste and put into your prospecting messaging.
The only thing I'm going to disagree with you on this one is that this is something that you should be doing specific to COVID. I think that's a great piece to be doing in general.
Oh yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. I think the urgency around doing it right now is extremely high. Normally I'm like having to convince people, dude, talk to your and no one wants to talk to their customers.
No,
like talk to your freaking customers, talk to two or three of them. That's all you need. Do a 30-minute interview, ask them about their pain points, get the language that they use. But yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. This, you should have already been doing this, but right now you need to do it again.
Totally. And just as a salesperson, and I think as I know, this is funny coming from the, you know, predictable revenue, and Aaron and the team in our book is so big on specialization. But I think in the era of closers that have SDRs and account managers that they work on a team with, one of the things that happens is you're a little bit more removed from the account management process, which means you're a little bit less, you're a little bit more removed from what's going on in the day-to-day life of your customers. And I think if we're talking about empathy, you can't empathize unless you have information, unless you know what's going on, right? Because otherwise you're just trying to manufacture something and it's going to be false and it's going to miss the mark. But actually having a couple conversations, you know, if you're just a closer, I shouldn't say just a closer, but if you're solely focused on closing business and you're not doing much of that account management element, having a couple of conversations with existing in-flight customers to get a sense for where they're at is something that's always gonna bear fruit, because you can, it's, you know, we sell through stories. And so being able to tell the stories of your current customers and how they're responding and how this is impacting them, it's gonna help your customers, your prospects see the other side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of folks are using Gong or Chorus or whatever your recording software is. So if you're an SDR or BDR, listen to those discovery and demo calls with the AEs. And hopefully you guys are recording or have some sort of way that you're tracking what gets said when you onboard a customer too, with on the customer success side that you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really no excuse. If you don't have the ability to interview customers, get those recordings or take the people out for lunch, or I guess you can't do that right now. Take them out to a virtual lunch and talk to them. But yeah, this is like the most important part. And I don't know. You might have a better answer than I do. I can't really figure out why people are not more bought into doing this process. I mean, they are right now. I guess it's pretty urgent, but I don't know why people are not more bought into starting here with empathy and like, who are the people that you are selling to and why do they buy your stuff?
I think it's just, it's one of those important but not urgent pieces that just gets put back. It's like, intellectually, I know this is the right thing to do, but tactically, in terms of actually pulling it off and doing it daily, a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Cool.
So I'll go ahead.
No, I was just going to sort of steer us towards channels. But did you have one last thing or something you wanted to finish
with?
Well,
I think that there's one piece of this, and this is basically the messaging framework, is like, once you have this challenge, you got to connect it to a result. Mm-hmm. And where I see people messing up here is they focus on what feature does our product have that helps them onboard people faster, reduce risk, increase whatever it is, right? What feature do we have? And what I always suggest people do, and where they see a lot more success, because features are not a universal language, challenges and results are a universal language with your prospect. They're going to understand that. So if you skip the features and the benefits stuff, and you just focus on the results and talk about what life is like after people use your product and how it changed, like what can they now do because of it? That language there is really like, that's your messaging framework right there. Mm-hmm. One analogy I would use real quick, and Seth Godin talks about this a lot, is like, if you look at a drill, if you ask someone why they bought a drill, most people won't tell you to drill a hole. So I think it's total BS when someone says, oh, people buy drills to drill holes. No, they actually buy drills. I bought a drill so I could hang up our flat screen, the wall mount for our flat screen TV. I bought a drill so we could hang up a picture. You know what I mean? So focus less on the hole, saving time, saving money, because that's such a generic like value prop, and focus more on the end result. What's the equivalent of that person driving the Mercedes down the freeway? That commercial, right? Where you see a huge grin on their face. So I just wanted to add that, because that's how you kind of connect the two. And that's essentially the framework for the messaging.
Perfect. And so walk me through how we get to reply here. So we started with, we're starting with the sort of, or we just finished the results. We've talked about sort of the empathy side of things. So let's walk through reply and then help me triangulate where we're at here.
Definitely. So the cool part is that we've already done the first couple steps of reply. So before we start doing the reply method, just to give you some quick framework, I'm not a really big person on like formulas, like for emails or talk tracks. I like a framework and sort of more like a checklist. And what we see working really well right now is an email that starts with, hey, first name, there's a couple lines of personalization. You do the empathy piece and talk about the situation or the priority that it's top of mind for them right now. And then you talk about the result, and then you have a call to action. Cold call sounds very similar. You're going to have your intro, some sort of opener, right? Some sort of question. But then the reason for your call is personalization, empathy, result, and then an engaging question. So with reply, it's an acronym. The R stands for relevant results. So you've already done this piece if you've done the exercise so far. This is where I want to make sure also that you have to focus on social proof. And social proof shouldn't be companies that are not related to the company you're reaching out to. So if you reach out to me and you say, we've worked with Google and Amazon, I'm not really that impressed. Like, cool, you know, but I run a business with my wife and we have four contractors. Like, I don't, we're not Google. We're not Amazon. Yeah, we're a small business.
Very, very different. You're almost doing yourself a disservice because you, as the person of, you know, company of six, you're thinking, oh, well, if you deal with Google, it's probably out of my price range or it's probably not built for me. Right. And I want something that's built for, like, hey, are you a husband and wife team with four contractors? Like, if somebody reached out and said that,
yeah,
be like, whoa. Like, oh. That, yeah. You're either like really good guess or you're stalking me.
Yeah. Or you listen to every podcast I've been interviewed on.
True.
So like that first piece, your goal there with relevant results is you're going to share something relevant. You're going to talk about a result, mm-hmm. Like what the people that you help, what they can now do after using your product or your service or whatever it might be. And you're not going to talk about your product. You're not going to talk about those features. So with this, you're just trying to get the person's attention. The empathy piece, and again, we've already really done a lot of this piece pretty heavily. All we're trying to do is get the person to see that, hey, I either know what it's like to walk in your shoes or I have walked in your shoes before. And I want to use some of that language that you're going to resonate with. And particularly with empathy, I'm talking about pain points and challenges and priorities. I just want to show them that I know a little bit about what it's like in their world.
Gotcha.
So where we could spend a little bit more time actually discussing though is on these next three. So personalization. So a lot of what I'm hearing right now is people are like, oh, personalization's dead. It's about adding context. I put those two in the same bucket. To me, it's the same thing. Personalization to me has always been more than saying, hey, Colin, I saw that you like to play guitar. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get you to take a meeting with me unless I'm selling guitar stuff to you.
Yeah. If you work at Graftech or Fender or like, I don't know, any of the companies that are sitting on my desk, Steinberg or, you know, this little project series, you know, like,
oh, that's, dude, super Steinberg. Relevant. Yeah. There,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. It's my, I get the UR22 plugged into the mic here.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So with the personalization piece, what we're trying to do is connect. We're trying to figure out like these results or these, the challenges and the empathy that we're connecting with the results. The personalization is going to sit right on top of that in the email. And what we're trying to do is add some context into there. So if I'm reaching out to you and let's say that you're, you're director or VP of sales. And my focus right now is helping companies make this remote transition with their prospecting. Cause that's a big thing for certain companies have only done in-person prospecting. I'm going to find something online that talks about how you're making a shift to work remote, or I'm going to find something online that talks about how you've always prided yourself in going to conferences or something, right? I'm going to find something related to that. And that's really important. It has to be relevant and it also has to be unique to you. So this can't be something I copy and paste for every prospect. Mm-hmm. So the personalization is going to connect those two.
Oh, I just wanted to build on that because I hear so many people and I've done a podcast on, you know, should it be personalized? Should it be contextual? Should it be relevant? And I think this step here, I think it doesn't really matter what you call it, but it's, you have the sort of general approach of here's what our company does. Let me calibrate that so that it's more relevant to you as an individual. Let me calibrate it so that I present the best, what I think is going to be put our best foot forward. I'm going to start with the smallest piece of information that I'm going to take a guess is going to be the most relevant. And if it's, hey, I notice you both, you know, you and I both play guitar and you love, you love shredding, then okay, let's do that. But if it's not, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Like it matters less the words that we're using to talk about it. And it matters more the action and the effort that we're putting in to like making it a better and more relevant, piece of outreach, whether it's a call, an email, social engagement, to the prospects. Sorry, I'll step back off my soapbox now.
No, I love that. And a lot of times what I say here is the goal is to make it, to show the prospect that your outreach was intentional. Mm-hmm. So like you need to do enough for them to see that this wasn't just some sequence that they were a part of. So the other part with personalization too is what I see a lot of reps struggling with is they don't really know where to look and what to find. And a lot of what you're probably hear if you consume information on LinkedIn is that you should be looking at their LinkedIn profile. I just, unless you're selling to salespeople and marketers, you're really not going to find a lot on their LinkedIn profile. So I don't really like that process. I think it's a good place to start if you want to get to know something about someone. But the other really quick things are, like, if you can find a way to work back to the company's values. So for example, we work with a company that sells performance management software, and they help like increase employee engagement. So if we can find like a job ad, for example, or some sort of thing that talks about the company culture, then we can talk about that in the personalization, and that connects to the solution. So it doesn't have to be the LinkedIn. Feel free to go to their blog, their website. Another little hack you can do too is if you type in the website, so let's say it's blissfulprospecting.com, if you put a colon after it, in Google Chrome at least, you can then search for keywords on their website, and Google will act as like a search engine for their website. So you can search for stuff like culture or visions or values or whatever in this example, and you can find those pages real quick on the website. So you can find something and be like, hey, I noticed one of your values is this. I really resonate with that for this reason. By the way, we have a solution designed specifically for this, because a lot of times what we hear is people like you have challenges like this, and here's what things could look like if you did it differently, you know, type of vibe. So don't be afraid to look elsewhere. Google News, you know, and finding trigger events and stuff like that is also another good place to look.
Cool tip on the colon after. I've never tried that before. I'm like old school. I use like the Google search. There are custom operators. You can do site colon and then the company and then the domain. That's how I've always done mine. I didn't realize you could just do colon afterwards.
Yeah. And that might be just a Google Chrome thing if you're typing right into the URL box there, though. I love that hack. I think the biggest thing with personalization is you need a workflow. So you need to find two or three things that you normally can find for every prospect you reach out to. So if that's LinkedIn, you have a LinkedIn workflow. So then it only takes a minute or two to be like, every single time I go to their LinkedIn, I look at the experience and I'm looking for this. Or I go to their references or testimonials or whatever it is, and I see this. I go to the blog and I type this thing in. I go to the values page and I'm looking for this, right? You need to really systemize it and get a process going so you don't spend 15 minutes looking for something.
Totally.
So that's the personalization piece. The L is for laser focus. So this is where I see people have major challenges with email. Your emails, in my opinion, really should not be over 120 words unless you got some really, really good stuff and you just can't take anything out. I think 3 to 5 sentences, 120 words for voicemails under 30 seconds, for cold calls. You want to be able to talk about why you're calling in 15 or 20 seconds. Like, it just can't take a ton of time. If you're sending personalized videos, less than 60 seconds, you got to keep it short and sweet. And that'll force you to really make sure that you're only sharing good stuff. Grammarly is another extension I highly recommend. It'll help you kind of cut things down and get rid of your filler words and, you know, that kind of stuff. But people have really short attention spans these days. And unless you are like a professional writer, like business style wise, that's like super entertaining and like all this other stuff, I would make it easy on yourself and keep that thing down to three to five sentences.
Beautiful. I've also heard a lot lately to avoid bullets because it just makes it look like every other sales development email.
I think like anything else, test it. So much of what the advice I've seen is very industry contextual. So like if I'm reaching out to salespeople, not a good idea to put bullets because they're like, they frown upon that, right? But engineers and more technical people, I think it comes down to the content. 100%. I'll listen to a 3-hour Joe Rogan podcast because it's really interesting. He's interviewing someone really interesting. I'm not going to listen to most people on a 3-hour podcast. Right? So if the content's good, it can be longer, but I just wouldn't take any gambles because your stuff is probably not, including me, it's probably not as good as I think it is.
we should really wrap it up here.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks. I wasn't going to say anything, but since you brought it up,
it's been real and swell, but the swelling's gone down, Colin. I'm going to have to take off. But the why is for you oriented, as in you, the prospect. So I always say you want to make the prospect the hero. So in your messaging, not that you shouldn't use the word I at all, but you should really limit the amount of times you say I and really try to think more you oriented. How can you put you and your into the messaging a little bit more? And more importantly, stop talking about how your product is so awesome. Mm-hmm. talk about how you help people and like what the results are that they get, and less about the product and how great you are.
It's until you actually do it, until somebody's told you, hey, your messaging is way too internally focused, like too focused on yourself and you as the hero. It's really hard to sort of to see that. It reminds me of this game that my parents used to play when they were like having parties and I was a kid, and everybody would start the night with like three yellow dots, like little stickers. And if you could get somebody else to say the word, like, hey, I am so-and-so, you get to take one of their stickers. And I used to just go around and like, just dominate those. Cause you know, you don't expect like a 12-year-old to be deviously trying to steal all your stickers.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what, hey, that'd be a great exercise on sales teams. It's like, let's just, you know, next time we're having
beers together, cool.
Start with these three dots and see how hard it is not to say I, because you realize very quickly that so much of your messaging and so much of what you do is focused on my perspective. And fair enough, we are coming from our perspective. But when we're trying to connect with another human, you need to be able to flip the script and look at the other side of things and say, okay, well, let's get out of my perspective and let's project myself into what I think they're going through. And sort of, and this is where that, like, you know, it ties back into the empathy side of things. If you're able to really understand that and you've had conversations with your customers, you can make some of those statements about, hey, I was talking to a customer and I noticed, you know, they were feeling this way. How is that impacting, you know, you? And now you've got, you know, a great little one-liner that you can slip in to either your cold call, to an Are We a Fit call, to an email. So I love that piece of the focusing on you.
Dude, that would be a really fun exercise, actually, like an after team, like happy hour, when you can actually go out and have happy hours whenever that time will be. but no, that's really cool because it is a habit. Dude, I think this is so important right now because our prospects, like, it's just shitstorm for them right now, right? There's a lot going on. And what you want to avoid is people saying, I don't got time for that. Or, you know, let's talk in 2 months. Or I'm way too busy to talk to you. Why are you prospecting to me? Of course, people are like, they're prioritizing their agenda right now more than they ever have.
And you can make the argument that people are always going to prioritize their own agenda. And you just have to make the argument that this is why you should put me on your agenda. And I'd say that the people that are hearing that, and I've heard this myself as well, is that, you know what, you just haven't done a good enough job of framing it up as to why this is relevant to your prospect right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful. I love the reply method. So if we just summarize, it starts with the results, right? Then it drives towards empathy and really understanding and being able to communicate that you understand your customer. It's the personalization aspect where we're calibrating our messaging specifically to the individual prospects that we're going after, showing them that, hey, I'm not a robot. This is not something that's totally automated. We are looking at the sort of understanding the laser focus that we need to be sort of brief. We are, again, calibrating the messaging to the industry that we're going into, you know, in terms of the style that they're used to. Your example of engineers like bullets and salespeople maybe think it's, you know, maybe a bit overplayed. And then you're flipping it around so that we're not talking about us and what we can do. We were talking about how we can help and what we are seeing our customers talk about in the industry. How do we do?
Good. Perfect.
Awesome. You know, we kind of alluded to this at the beginning, but I'd love to just sort of touch briefly on channels and then we'll kind of bring it home.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had mentioned a couple of years ago that you were focused entirely on email. What channels are you seeing work in 2020 and specifically in light of in the last couple of weeks here?
I would say email is becoming less and less effective, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It still works extremely well. So when people talk about cadences, I mean, Outreach, Sales Loft, Zant, you know, formerly InsideSales.com, they have all like millions of data points on what you should be doing, really. So I tend to follow their guidelines and I see the same exact thing. So if you only had to pick two channels, I would say for most industries, I would pick phone and email. Unless I'm selling to marketers and salespeople, which I would probably do phone and LinkedIn, but I would always have phone as part of the puzzle there, as a piece to the puzzle. And then the third would be LinkedIn. I've never personally experimented with direct mail or anything like that before, but LinkedIn, I mean, there's just so much opportunity in LinkedIn, and a play that works really well right now is if you can post content on LinkedIn and get people to engage with it, you can take those conversations offline and throw them into an outreach sequence, you know, and start calling them and emailing them. And it works extremely well, because when I still do cold calling, but I only cold call people that have, you know, engaged with our LinkedIn content. So when I call them, most of the time it's like, oh, Jason. Yeah. What's up, man? You know, it's a really warm, friendly response versus me just totally calling someone out of the blue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if I have anything new or revolutionary there outside of, I highly recommend phone, no matter what you're going to do, at least mix phone and something together. And LinkedIn, if you're selling to the right persona, salespeople, marketers, I would throw HR people in there, recruiters, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to work really well as a tool.
Right on. You're totally right. SalesLoft specifically has done a lot of research. Yeah. I know Outreach just published some stuff too, but the one that comes to that's top of my mind is the when they looked at 200 million sales interactions.
That's crazy, huh?
They came to the same to that conclusion, which is, you know, touch people over multiple channels and sort of compressed at the beginning and then spread out, you know, mid to end of the funnel.
Yeah.
Kind of like a long tail. And so. Yeah, I'll include a link there if people haven't seen it. I highly recommend checking that out.
Well, and you have the ability now with a sales engagement tool to plug stuff in and use what we recommended as a baseline and then test it. Let the results and the data actually tell you what you need to do. And if you notice that, hey, when I use LinkedIn and we measure those touches, it never leads to any meetings, let me try a cadence without LinkedIn and see if I get a hold of as many people and set as many appointments. And if you don't, you don't need to use it, you know? But I think there's like this big mystery to cadences. People are always asking me about the cadence. It's really not that complicated. 12 to 15 touches over 30 to 45 days, 2 to 3 channels, spread your touches out 2 to 7 days apart, a piece. Like you said, make the touches further apart, the further out in the sequence you are. I mean, it's really not rocket science. That, like, use that as a place to start, mm-hmm. and then let the data tell you how you should adjust it.
That's great, man. Jason, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the reply method with us, talking to us a little bit about COVID and the things that we can do to be a little bit more relevant to our prospects, and hopefully continue pushing throughout these next couple months, because it is going to be a dip. It's not sort of a downward slide. There will be a rebound at some point. And so to everybody out there, just keep pushing and wash your hands. But before we let Jason go, I do want to put you under the gun and make you cold call me. And so
sure.
Let's wrap with this. Talk to me about who I am. Set the tone here. What's the, what persona are you calling into? And Yeah.
Let's just say that you're a director of sales at a SaaS company.
Okay. It's a bit of a stretch for me, but I'll manage.
And let's also pretend that you're not working in you're not like, you know, a restaurant, like software. You're not something that's like totally impossible for me to help. There was a purpose for me reaching out.
Funny enough, our one customer that sells to restaurants is actually doing quite well.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
They sell like a delivery, and sorry, not a delivery, like a order pickup solution.
Oh, that's money.
Yeah.
I love
and,
that.
Yeah. So they're, and it's funny enough, mostly over Instagram. As somebody who doesn't have Instagram, I never would have guessed that. Props to our team. They figured that out. That certainly wasn't me. I think it was Patricia and Bernard. They did an amazing job. But anyway, so I'm not working for a company that sells into restaurants. I'm working for a company that sort of hasn't been super impacted. Maybe let's just say outside of COVID.
Let's say that you sell IT security, right? IT security solutions.
Perfect. All right. Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hey, Colin. This is Jason with Blissful Prospecting. I know I caught you in the middle of the day here. Do you have a couple seconds? I could tell you why I'm calling.
I'm just heading into a meeting. So you get 30 seconds.
No, perfect. So the reason for my call is I was doing a little bit of research on your company. And what I noticed is it sounds like you guys are making this transition to working remote right now. And what I'm hearing from a lot of directors of sales that I talk to is that one of the challenges that they're having is really one, making sure that they're able to manage the activities the way that they would like. And then two, making sure the reps know what to say when they're prospecting, because one of the big challenges right now is, you know, should we be prospecting and what should we say? I was curious, is that something like you're running across right now at all?
Yep. Yeah, definitely something our team is dealing with right now.
Yeah, definitely. I had a quick question. Out of curiosity, it looks like you have a lot of SDRs and AEs. Are your AEs, like, are they doing any of their own appointment setting right now, or are you having the SDRs do all of that?
SDRs do the majority, but the AEs are responsible for working old deals, like nurture, close loss nurture deals.
Got it. Okay. And are you using any sort of software or sales engagement tools to like manage their activities? Because it looks like you have like 30, 40 SDRs out there working from home. Mm-hmm. Are you using any software to manage like their activities and things like that?
Yeah, we use a sales engagement tool.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. What tool do you use?
I don't want to shout out anybody specifically, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. One. I love that tool as well.
It's a great tool, isn't it?
Okay. Lastly, real quick, how have you guys adjusted your messaging, you know, with all of the, you know, craziness going on from a prospecting standpoint? How have you guys adjusted your emails and like what your SDRs are saying on their calls?
Our marketing team added a footer to all the SDRs emails.
Added a footer.
That talks about COVID.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, have you noticed like an increase in appointments, or are you guys setting less appointments? Like how are things going in general?
Seen a decrease.
Yeah, definitely. So essentially what I'm hearing, Colin, is that it sounds like you're making the transition to working remote like pretty successfully. But it also sounds like from a messaging standpoint, there might be some room for improvement, should I say, in terms of like setting more meetings. One of the ways that we're helping right now is working with reps and teams directly and running messaging workshops so they can adjust and really lead with more empathy so that they can continue having conversations with their prospects to really save as much of their pipeline as possible. How do you feel about what I'm saying so far? Is any of this sound interesting, worth having a conversation about?
Sounds great, Jason.
Cool, man. Do you got your calendar, Andy?
Let's do it.
Sweet. So what I could do like tomorrow, if you're available at 12 o'clock, what I'd love to share with you is a couple ideas on how we're helping change those emails so that one, you can lead with more empathy, but two, really reframe your value prop and connect to the challenges that your prospects are currently going through so that you guys can continue setting meetings. And I'll make sure to talk about a few other companies we're working with that are going through a similar sort of thing. So I just sent that invite to you. Did you get it?
No, don't see it. Maybe let me refresh. I'll check my spam.
Cool. So that's...
there it is. There it is. I found it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the general call, man.
Nice. Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know you had a call to action link for us. Talk to me about what happens if somebody goes to blissfulprospecting.com/Colin with two L's.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about the reply method and we talked about how to sort of shift your approach right now with the times. And what you're going to find at that link is a guide on the future of prospecting, how to fill your pipeline during uncertain times. So it's going to outline what we talked about today, along with having a link to the reply method. It's like a one-page cheat sheet that you can use as a guide when you're rewriting your cold emails and your talk tracks. And that's the best way. Our email list is really the best way to get like really good free content on what you should be doing right now. We have a bunch of webinars we've run in the last 2 weeks as well to get all that access there at that link.
Awesome. Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks everybody for listening, and I'll see you all next week.